what we were saying was that the women in the shop, except for the issue of childcare, did not feel that they had specific problems. They
right.
didn't feel that committed to a women's committee as a result.
Correct, because we had provisions in our contract to take care of the women, you see. Over the years, years and years, we kept perfecting it, improving upon it, without specifically saying this is for women only per se, you see? And so that's why that they it didn't feel that they had too much of a, you know, really need for a women's committee. However, you know, I could see what we could improve, and we could actually, for the young women, you know, coming in, you know, make some social things and get them more, I was always interested in getting more women active. You see, and now with the UAW, they're actually spending money, sending people to school and things like that, and educating them. I think that's fantastic, and that's why I was interested in having the women get in there too. Okay, but unfortunately, it didn't work out this time. And what Bill did, you know, of course she decided, of course, when I was starting to let her, you know, we weren't in agreement on a lot of things, that she completely didn't want me in the women's committee. But I still went to the function, you know. But,
Did they have the meetings
of
the committee?
Yes, they did. She had meetings of the committee. It never got to be very, not over six people, I don't think, or even that many, I don't think, really. But, you know, she had to pay them, too, to come out, and nobody volunteered to come out.
And so the idea of this banquet was to basically build the committee?
Correct. The idea was, you know, to make it a very nice affair to acquaint the people in the shop with what women, you know, could do, and to get them interested in joining, you know, the committee and build it up, and it meaning something. That was the whole idea of the thing. And the program itself was great.
Now,
to a point.
That was in about 1980, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Probably 80, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Right, yeah. And, but anyway, the executive board allotted a couple thousand dollars to start with, you know. But then they thought that a lot of these things that they would be probably pay for itself, like we put on a testimonial. I was the chairman of that for Mark Hannaford prior to that, just before he went out of office, you know, and down here at the Golden Sales, and I'll have to give you a little pamphlet that was just very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid for itself. We made a few dollars, okay? Well, we figured that the women's committee do the same thing. At $5 a ticket, that doesn't, you know, that wouldn't really even cover the cost of the meal, but it would get the gals out and get them interested, because we thought we had people from various walks of life, and, you know, that would be put on little workshops and get them interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't happen.
And what happened to that?
Well, what happened was, for one thing, these two gals that were on the chairman and co-chairman, they didn't really have what you might call real trade unionist experience, for one thing. And they didn't know how to approach. I know we had two women on the bargaining committee at that time, and they approached the two women. You know, they asked them if they wouldn't come and take part in the workshop, and they said, "Well, certainly now these two gals too. They'd had experience in the shop too, and they were stewards and owners. You know, they knew what they were doing, and they could tell you how to process a grievance, and they were familiar with some of the women's problems in the shop, didn't you? But these two gals, the way they approached the approached the other two girls that were in the shop, they said that on the bargaining, well, we'll tell you what we want you to say, and we'll tell you what we want you to do. Well, the girls said, well, how about them? You know, after all, they don't know what we do in the shop. They, you know, so they wouldn't even attend. They didn't even come to the meeting. And then some of the people that they had up there were not what you'd call top rate people, and then some of the people in the shop, they got fouled up on all the organization of that, you know. And I will say this, that the tables were set up beautifully, they had it catered, and everything was, you know, that just broke my heart, because it would have been such a good thing. And then Gail, she invited a group from Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Choir of some kind. It was the lesbian choir, and the thing if they had come dressed, for instance, so that, you know, like you, probably wouldn't have been so bad, but they came and they were swanning their lesbian, and they were wearing, and like I told you about this one gal that was sitting at the piano, one person like me, and she had a man's t-shirt on and no bra. And, you know, it turned a lot of those women, a few of them came really off, you know. And I thought, oh, isn't this too bad? Now, see, if they had come, you know, dressed like everybody does in the street, and if they hadn't just found it, because they sang beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
They sang beautifully. But when Gail saw that we weren't having really to call good participation, so in order to fill up all those tables out there, because, oh, there were very, very few women from the shop, very few women, really. Maura Hart, who left the, joined the Rap Caucus, she brought a bunch of their women in there, but they did it for political reasons to see what Gail was up to. And, I was so embarrassed. So when Gail saw the people didn't show up and everything else, you know, and she didn't ask me to take part in anything, any workshop or anything, which, you know, it didn't matter as long as it was going to be good. I don't have to be a part of everything. But she kind of fired me, you know, and everything. And then when they had everything set up beautifully and she was introducing people and stuff like that, she never once did any, and besides myself, there was another gal, Anna Faye, who long after I come up to the ranks, Anna Faye come up, and she was serving on the bargaining committee, and she was out in disability, she had a stroke, you know, but she did a lot, and Anna Faye was very active in the women's committee. But she was retired.
You bet.
And she was a fighter, you know. A real good gal, boy. And then I never even asked her to serve on the committee or never even, you know, anything like that. All that, you know, it's a shame. And anyway, when Gail was making her thank yous and everything else, but anyhow, when she saw the people weren't showing up, you know, it was set up for like 500 people or so, and there couldn't have been less than 100. That included the choir. And the people for a workshop, imagine that. And the choir must have been, 50, 70 people? I don't know. So she didn't ask for an okay rating, but she invited them, and they all sat down to fill up some tables, and they still didn't fill them all up, you know. But that cost us local money, a lot of money. And it was a darn shame. And so what happened was after that, then the Women's Committee, it didn't immediately disband, but we were having a lot of complaints from the shop about this one gal trying to, about Lisa Thune, trying to organize and getting people to other meetings and things, you know. And so I didn't talk to the girls, but Gail did and told them, you know, that you couldn't pass out Lisa from the plant and all that. And so eventually what happened was the company's ready to fire them both, but they both quit. And they split. They just left. Had not had anything at all to do. There's been nothing on that at all since then. Nothing. Isn't that a shame? What an opportunity. And there was the money there, Serna. Just think what we could have done with that. My. And in fact, look, rather than even charge $5, because it must have, I don't know, $15,000 spent in that thing, we could have, each store would bring X number of women and just invite them to come for a day. Nothing. You know? Please invite them to come, you know. And the store himself, man, what difference does it make? If it's a women's conference, you know, we go to their conferences. We start something like that. Isn't that a shame?
Now, what?
And then all the see, there were some men that came there. A few men that did come, you know, like this one guy I was sitting next to, Margaret Griffiths. You see, her husband was on the bargaining committee. He came. He part of our caucus, you know. Mm-hmm. And oh Lord, Betty, this was terrible. And a couple other men came, and they took the information back in the shop, and it really hurt. Oh, did it hurt? Did it hurt us? And then Mona Hart and her women. Oh. Destroyed us.
So this became part of the caucus
vice
then, using the
tissue. Oh, they discredited Gail for her ability to organize and for the fact that she was flaunting her life in, really flaunting it, you know. And in fact, when she came dressed pretty macho, and she brought her mate to that one.
And so that became a real issue with
that
one.
Yeah, it really did. Oh, that's too bad. You know, like I say, in her closing remarks, too, you know, thanking everybody, she's over there's two women here who have been with the local for many years, and she just, that's it. She was thinking about what Anna did for the local union or women activity and stuff. And, you know, I was hurt so badly that it was a personal thing. What have I done, or how bad, or if I've been doing things wrong? I sat there, and it was dark, you know, and I just started to cry, and I imagine I was embarrassed, but I was crying. I was so hurt. Gee whiz, isn't this a shame? And so after that, I never said anything to Gail about it at all. I didn't, and by that time, political things had gotten so bad. I didn't give up. I still kept...
You were still on the executive.
Oh, yes. In fact, there were several things that were done that tried to get me discouraged, so I'd resign.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not resign. No way would I resign. But things got so bad, the things that she was doing, and she got to the point where she would call an executive board meeting, but she would not call the other two members out, the vice president, you know, and Mona Hart. She wouldn't. or they wouldn't even have a board meeting, but they'd call and ask, they want to spend X number of thousands of dollars, you know, and you have to get an executive board approval. They would just call you on the telephone. And if Mona or Dan would ask, well, why wasn't I called? We couldn't reach you. You're not available. Okay? So after a while, then right before, you know, when it came time for election this time, okay, a lot of people split off, and a lot of them kept going to the rap and everything else, right? You betcha.
Now, when was that last election?
That was just last May, June.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of them split off, and then there was a caucus that was formed, that's newly formed, called the Unity Caucus. And the fellow that was the chairman of that, he wasn't the strongest person in the world, but he was so honest it wasn't even funny. And not the most educated either, you know. Although, when I say so honest, he was, he hadn't done anything bad that I knew of, okay? So, they kept asking me to join, and so did the rap people. When a lot of people saw what she was doing to me, a lot of them said, Betty, how can you stand that? And she tried to move me out of my office one time, right before the women's conference meeting, you know. She said, Betty, she said, one day I wasn't up there, and I came in, I saw somebody use my desk, you know, no big deal. And she said, hope you don't mind. And she said, I had, what the heck was her name, Gloria? I can't remember now. Using all, I said, not at all. It's okay. So then she says to me, Betty, she says, you know that big office that the international representatives had out there in the big hall? How'd you like to move out there? I said, oh, no, it's too far for me to go because, you know, I use a copy machine so much and stuff like that, you know, and kind of my back and forth. This is, you know, kind of hard. This is fine, she said, but it was very small. She said, a nice big place out there. I said, no. But I could see that she was starting to close her door. So, you know, her office was always being closed. I couldn't see who was going in there. I couldn't see who was talking. I cared less really after a while. I figured she learned enough she could take care of her own business. But then she asked us, what do you want that for? So you can help for the women's committee? You really me out to the women's committee? Well, no, not really. But then when Dan Young moved out, she moved him out. He had a big office next to hers. Boy, the first day he went back in the plant, you know, she had his pictures taken down, everything taken out of his desk and everything else. And she said, Betty, she said, would you please move out to the big hall because I want to give Dan Young that office, a small office. I want to put the insurance committee over here. And I said, well, for Dan Young, yes, I'll move out there. So that's why I moved out there. But that's what she had me move out there for. She was trying to get me away, split me away because I was voting against, you know, I was saying no to some of the things, and she didn't like that. See? She didn't like that. She wanted to remove me from that political thing. And I wouldn't leave the caucus either. I stuck in there with that damn caucus.
But most of them
were being doing. Oh, yes. All those that had any political clout or anything did, you know. And so, finally, and the rap caucus in the meantime kept building up in that shop, because that's where you organize in that shop. That's where the votes are, you know. And anyway, so then finally it got down to the point where it was just a couple of 6 weeks away from the election, and I just thought, boy, this is terrible. I said, so we had some caucus meetings, the team caucus, and some of the people they wanted to put up for office, I wouldn't vote for them for anything, because I knew them by then, after 3 years, you know. A lot of them had nothing but political opportunities. They didn't want to really do any job to those people in the shop. They just wanted to get paid for lost time and take these expensive trips and hadn't paid. They weren't good representatives. And at that point, I said, you know, I had invitations from the RAP caucus and to join and also the Unity. And so I decided I'll accept your invitation, Unity caucus, and I'll attend a meeting. So I attended a meeting, and a lot of people I didn't know and I liked, and I thought, fine, it's okay. I realized that the man that was the head of that, you know, that he wasn't the strongest person in the world, but we might have a chance of being elected. In the meantime, Gail Powell realizes that she can't run for office because of the lesbians out, you know, and all the many things that she's done, they publicized. And if you look at the financial report, we're in the red. A lot of the funds are completely in the red, totally in the red, exhausted all the funds. But she knew she could never be reelected, and neither could the recording secretary or the other people, some of the people were really bad that were with her. So they agreed they wouldn't run. So they had to get somebody else to run in her place. And the man that they wanted to run in her place was a good man, but I didn't think he could be elected, so therefore I couldn't support them. So I joined the Unity Caucus, see, only 6 weeks before. And so we started building up a machine then. Well, it wasn't a whole lot of time. So Gail Powell didn't run, and what happened was, because of the not having a real good machine, the RAP people, when they ran in, they swept every single office. Because all those young people in the shop, and they got out and they worked their little butts off, and it was, I mean, there was every single office they won, every single one. They are now totally in power, except they were until yesterday. Now we have 80% of the representatives in that shop.
Councilor Stewart.
That's right. In the shop.
Why do you think that turned around
now, happened? But this last election, okay, there were several discrepancies, so there had to be a runoff. In the first election, it was very, very bad. A lot of those things were appealed. And I ran, you know. I didn't want to run for an office. But I had people all over saying, Betty, run for reporting secretary of the affairs. I don't want to do that. I just want to run for office. I'm going to run for president, retiree chapter. That's the job I want. Oh, you need your help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I said in like the rap group, and I sure as hell couldn't support Gail Paul's organization, okay? So I said, all right, I'll run if I can help your ticket win some votes, fine. And so there were so many discrepancies there, and there had to be another runoff there. And so we had a runoff, and so there were so many discrepancies there, that both elections had been appealed to the international, okay? One of the things that Gail Paul did, can you imagine this last runoff election? She appealed to the international, and she sent the day before the election was supposed to be held. Now, mind you, in the meantime, the RAP group, when we had an election for the election committee that's to conduct the election, they were so strong in the plan that every one of their members on the election committee was there. Every one. What a machine they had, okay? So, Gail Paul, the election date was set up for the runoff and everything else, but by golly, she said that she felt that some discrepancy was so bad she wasn't going to permit the runoff election to be held until she got a ruling from the international on the appeal to the first election. Because there's so many discrepancies held there, okay? The ballots were lost, 100 ballots were misplaced, and many discrepancies you wouldn't believe. All right, so she said no, and she wasn't going to hold it until she heard from the international. Well, it just so happened that what she did, she left the day before the election was supposed to be held, and she didn't come near the office, you know, and she had all of us leave, so we wouldn't be there to receive any telegrams. So what did the RAP group of people do? By God, they held that election. They opened up that stadium down there, and up here at the Union Hall, you know, they rented a truck, and they got tables out there, and they held the election anyway. Anyway, when I went up there in the morning, and it was raining that day, and they had people outside in raincoats and stuff like that and tables, they held that election, and they swept it. They're in office now. All right, there was protests made on that, too, but Gail Powell did a really bad service to the whole union movement. Oh, God, I felt just terrible. What a disgrace, you know. And the international couldn't back her up because they had sent her a telegram, and we knew she got it. They proved that she did, and told her that she could not stop that election. That election had to continue. The international sent it in. So anyway, I'm going to show you letters and documents on that too, okay? And but in the meantime, those people, the RAP people, had to be sworn in. They were sworn in. And they are now presently holding office. The appeals run up, except it takes a long time on these things. All right, so they're holding office. In the meantime, I'm so worn out and everything else. Here comes my own election. And would you believe? Now, my election came after their election, but then it wasn't time for them to be installed, okay? Mm-hmm. The new office to be installed. So I'm running against this Ken Fenton, who belongs to the team. So the region knows I'm not too red hot about them, so Gail Powell pulls the last big shot against me. She says that in order for a coalition to be formed against, this is before the last runoff thing, she said that the only way that the team would give their support to the unity, coalition support and everything else, to run against the RAP, the last one, is if I agree, if I don't run against Ken Catton for president. They held a little high-level pre-caucus meeting, the regional director, two international reps, Gail Powell, Ken Catton, and they tried to pull two people, the chairman of our caucus and the editor of our paper and that thing, and tried to get them all to agree not to support me.
As
president for the retiree, they don't give a damn about the other. They wanted me not to run against Ken Catton, okay? They did that, no kidding. It was a really bad, bad, bad situation. But anyway, and so they did get some people to she was so angry at me for opposing her and for leaving the caucus, because that, you know, people, they didn't, a lot of the old timers knew that if I left the caucus, it had to be pretty bad, see? And so she knew it would hurt her state. So she was trying to get back at me that way, and by getting people to agree not to support me. And I couldn't win without that support.
No, but what happened with the recording secretary's position?
I'm still under fire, you know, the... Oh, yes.
This was going to be separate. The president of the retirees was going to separate election.
Right. So what happened on election day? So all of a sudden I had a surplus slate, real tough surplus slate amongst the retirees. I'm like the youngest one, a lot of them, you know, because you don't usually retire at 65 years old, and, you know, and I just returned disability. So, but anyway, I had a heck of a time getting up enough people, because a lot of them are old and kind of disabled. So I got a state together, and we put out a nice little letter and everything else, you know, and we went out there. On election day, I get up there, and the polls are supposed to open at 12 o'clock, okay? I got there at 10:30, and here, as I walk up to the hall, here there's a whole bunch of the teen people out there passing out literature for Ken Patton that belongs to the teen caucus, and the polls weren't supposed to open until 12 o'clock and 10:30. They got the polls to open. I wasn't even there to be present for the ballot box to be open or anything, you know. You see, there's no ballots in the box, and they set out the whole thing. And it was just a total disaster. Everything was so illegal, you wouldn't believe it. The people that were in charge of the election committee, they didn't know the rules, even though I passed out a bunch of books and tried to help them. They didn't know to ask the whole ground about that kind of stuff, you know. And they pulled a lot of shenanigans. They even had a guy in there to be pulled off of a Ken Catton, who, and I challenged it, who was not legal. And they came up with a different count 3 different times after the results. I can show you the challenges. I challenged that. And then I took it to... the challenge was read to the membership, the retiree membership, but I didn't get the vote from them. He had that meeting packed, loaded, and he had a lot of people there who were not even members, like the spouse of a deceased, you know, who couldn't vote, and they didn't ask for a card count for the thing or like that, you know. And I was worn to a frazzle about that time too. It was really bad news. And in fact, at the election time was when, remember the time I talked to you, called me, I had my knee went out that time on me. And I thought I had a tumor or something, and I wouldn't use my cane that day because I thought if people saw me with a cane, that they'd say, what in the world is she running for office? She can't walk, you know, and it was just hell. It was just hell. Well, anyhow, I did my part of the appealing and everything else, and that's why this thing is still setting up here, because I'm waiting, you know, when the time comes, that so I'll be ready to get the machine. I haven't got the machine. Mm-hmm. I mean, taking part in the machine. But, you know, I know, for a while I was beginning to think it never happened, because after all, look how far back the election was. Just so happened that, let's see, this is Monday night, the chairman of the caucus received a certified letter from International stating that they are coming out here now to investigate and determine, you know, what to do about the appeal. Okay? And they will be here on the
20th. Now, it's not very often that the retirees group becomes such an issue in the union.
I'll tell you why the retirees group became such an issue in the union, because I am a retiree, and actually what we did, we were able to force this thing into a runoff because of the retiree vote. The retirees, we have a block of vote in the retirees. These old-timers I've known for God so many years, it was a separate machine. But the retirees, they are, according to the Constitution, permitted to, they can cast their vote, you see, on every single one, every single office, in the union, excepting the bargaining committee. And so, you see, when you've got, say, when you say I've got 800 votes in my pocket, they're going to listen to you, okay?
So the retirees became a really critical
Became a very critical factor in this last election. Very. And after all, the union group didn't want me just because I'm Betty. They wanted me because of the political clout that I had. Not only just the people in the shop that I pulled a lot of votes out this last time, but the fact that I am, you know, a lot of retired people know me. A lot of them know me. And so, I never lost an election. Then I, you know, one time I lost an election, I decided to stay away from all the caucuses and run by myself in the plan for the international convention, and I only lost that separately by myself. Now, that's never heard of before. And I only lost it by 7 votes. Mm. You know? But anyway, right now as it stands, we just learned that they're coming out on the 20th, and there's a good chance the whole thing's going to be held over again. Not just the runoff, but the very, you know, the whole thing.
So, and in the meantime, that slot on the executive board has been vacant?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
In the meantime, he has been sitting in...
The whole lap, you know, of the people that were elected, okay, they're all certified.
Mm.
You have to be, and all you can do according to our Constitution, you may appeal it, but you've got to have all your facts and everything else ready, just like going to court, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you have to be able to present those things and convince the International Executive Board that some wrongdoings actually happened out there, And so if that's the case, then they'll recertify the whole cotton plant. They were even talking about, in fact, you know, before Gail Powell went out of office, this thing was getting so bad, they were even talking about putting, you know, an administrative or a local. And that's a real insult to taking it up. You bet. No, not to, well, administrator over it. Not trusteeship. Well, there's a big difference because the minister comes in there and he decides what's wrong and who. They might even ask some officers. They won't put them out of office, but they'll say, well, now we're going to have someone work with you for a while, okay? See? And so, you know, you're more or less, it's just like asking for a consultant to come in and tell you what you're doing wrong and then have your advice and do it. But if you come in there and